Now, my brothers and sisters, it's terribly important that we grasp this book. If I may use an illustration that struck me so strongly just not too long ago. It was the last night that I was up there at Zambia, and I switched on to the Zambian television broadcasting channel. And after the news, they had an hour program where the bishop preached. And he had a very, very large congregation, numbering thousands. And what he did was this. He opened his message by saying this: "My text to you this evening is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and from verse 1. And he read it to us. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I thought, well, terrific. Wonderful. This is what we want. We want to hear God's word. And what he then did was, he literally closed the Bible, and he spoke on the power of a new beginning. He spoke for an hour, and not once did he mention the name of Jesus. Not once did he speak about sin, or the cross, or salvation, or repentance, or the gospel. It was a very, very, for me, sad, depressing story. But that wasn't enough. At the end, he said, "Now, if you want to support us," and they flash it all on with these PowerPoint presentations, "you can become a platinum supporter. And you're a platinum supporter if you pay 75,000 kwachas. You can become a silver supporter if you pay 50,000, and a bronze if you chip in." So it really depends on how much. It was governed by money. I don't want to be hard or arrogant, but that man has become an apostate. He has turned away from the precious truths of the Bible, is focusing on money, and that's exactly what Jude is telling us. He's telling us, be careful. He's telling us, be on your guard. He's telling us, be really watchful what you listen to, what you hear, what you watch, what you read. Because the days are really upon us when we are confronted by these apostates. So all I want to do with you this evening is this. Jude in verse 8 to verse 11 tells us two things. He tells us of the conduct of the apostate, and then he tells us about the company they keep. Just those two things from Jude. And verse 8 through to verse 11. Well, let's have a look then, first of all, at the conduct. How do these people conduct themselves? Look at verse 8 with me. "In the very same way, these dreamers." Now, that's interesting, isn't it? You see, you would to underline that little word, dreamers, because that's often what they are. They haven't turned to the Bible for what they believe. They haven't turned to the Word of God as to what they teach. It's dreams. It's visions. It's things that they have professed to have heard. He's not the only one. But his name was Joseph Smith. You've all heard of Joseph Smith. He claimed to have a dream. And the dream was that the angel Moroni had come. And the angel Moroni had visited and had shown Joseph Smith two large golden plates on which were written the very words that God wanted our world to see and to read and to understand. It was written in hieroglyphics, which he couldn't understand, so he's given some spectacles. And Joseph Smith read these plates. It was a dream. But you know what's happened through that dream? The whole Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has emerged. The whole Mormon movement stems from that. So you speak to these missionaries who go house to house, two by two. They're very well behaved. They're immaculately dressed. They knock on our doors. There's always two of them. They claim to be elders. And what do they say? They say, can I teach you the Bible and the Book of Mormon? How did it start? With a dream. Just the same with Mary Baker Eddy. Exactly the same. She has a dream. Doesn't turn to the Bible, doesn't turn to what God wants. It starts with a dream. And sects and movements and cults have started because people have drifted away from the Word. Now look as a result what happened. In the very same way these dreamers, look what they do. They're the three things. They pollute their bodies physically. They reject authority intellectually, and they slander celestial beings. Can I try and explain that if I may? First of all, they defile the flesh. What does that literally mean? They defile the flesh. The word there, I believe, for defile means to dye with another color. And that's what they do. They believe that our bodies, you can do whatever you want. The body is not the important thing. The soul is the important thing. The spirit is the important thing. So there's no emphasis on the physical. And what does that lead to? It leads to horrendous sexual sins. It leads to immorality often. Sometimes it even led to other extreme cases of asceticism where they defile the flesh. You all saw that film some years ago on Jim Jones. Why did he do that? Here's the reason. When Charles Taze Russell was taken to court, amongst many other things that were leveled in that courtroom, there was the accusation of his dreadful unfaithfulness in his marriage. And yet Charles Taze Russell, as you all know, is the founder, the governor, the director, the movement behind the Jehovah Witnesses. Now why? You see, when you wander away from the Bible, it often leads to a defiling of the flesh. Number two, the second thing that the Bible tells me, see verse 8, in the same way they pollute their bodies and they reject authority. They have a contempt for authority. They refuse to submit to authority. In a spiritual sense, they refuse to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They refuse to submit to the authority of the Word of God. So whether it's in the church, or work, or adversity, or politics, or whatever it is, they are busy with their own agendas, but Jude says, you know what you will find? They reject authority. And some of the big things that are happening today, all over the world, you're reading it on your newspapers, you're watching it on the news. People are even talking of splits in Anglicanism over, after centuries, over what issues? Over homosexuality? Isn't that right? That's the one. Over same-sex marriages? That's the other one. And over the ordination of women and the consecration of women bishops. These are the issues that are splitting. Now the issue is clear. There's no debate really on any of those issues. If we are willing to listen to God. God has told us exactly what He wants on the homosexual issue, on the same-sex issue, on the ordination of women, on the consecration of women. It's all clear. But you know what apostate does? They won't listen to the Bible. They won't. They're apostates. They defile the flesh. They reject authority. And the third thing that they do, says Jude, is they slander celestial beings. They speak blasphemies. And he uses this illustration in verse 9. He says, even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, my friends, that's a very difficult verse, isn't it? That incident that Jude is recording for us is actually not recorded in any other place in the Bible. We have a record of the death of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34, but Jude is here probably making a reference to an ancient book called The Assumption of Moses. But he's using that for the same purpose. He's showing us what an apostate does. An apostate rejects the authority of God's precious word and speaks these blasphemies. Mary and I always have supper on Friday night. We always take her out for Friday. You know, the rule is not more than, I've gone up now, 32 rand. If she asks for more than that, then she pays. So we just have fish and chips. But we just, it's not fancy, it's just to get out. And we were in one of my favorites. I love going to Fagos. And exclusive books are having a big book sale. So that's why I wanted to go to Fagos. And I was looking through Fagos and I just picked up a book on the gospel of Judas Iscariot. Maybe you've seen it. I was tempted to buy it and I thought, no. Why waste money? It's absolute nonsense. Why? It's not in the Bible. I don't want to reject God's word. But you know what an apostate does, dear friends? They teach, they promote, they speak, and they're involved in things where they are physically, intellectually, and spiritually incorrect. Not only that, but Jude goes further and he says, I'll put it down there. He says, listen, these, they speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. They don't understand these things. Because in the majority of cases, they may have made a profession of faith, but they didn't believe it. They weren't truly saved. Like the men, I listened to their lectures when I was at university. I would listen to these men lecturing me day after day in biblical truths, but they were apostates. Until eventually I wrote to my precious father, and I said, I'm very, very sorry, but I'm coming home. I can't carry on here. And I left. And I went to the Bible Institute of South Africa because I found a place that believed the Bible. I said to my dad, Dad, I'll pay you back. I'm sorry, I've wasted your money. But these men are telling me the Bible's not true. They didn't believe Jonah. They didn't believe Daniel. They didn't believe Genesis. Now what were they doing? They were speaking about things they did not understand. They were dealing, see what Jude says? And the things that they do not understand by instinct. The realms of their natural life. That's the kind of people that they were. So there's the first thing I draw to your attention. The days in which we are living are not easy. Be careful, my friends. Won't you be careful? Be careful of apostates. Their conduct is frightening. Because they've turned their back on the authority of God to resort to their own thinking and their own plans, their own dreams and their own visions, and they continue to promote it. Just secondly, what's their company? See verse 11? Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, and they've been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. What does that mean? If I can try and simplify it for you and for me this evening. What company do they keep? Well, the first thing, says Jude, is they go the way of Cain. That's the way they go. That's their company. Now, you all remember Cain? You all remember him clearly. Both Cain and Abel were brought up in the same home. And after a time, Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. Cain's was rejected. Abel's was accepted. Because Abel came with a godly character, acknowledging the fact that he was never good enough to be ever able to please God, but not Cain. Cain wasn't like that. His character wasn't like that. And he brings an offering of his own good works from a character that didn't back it up. That's the company. The way of Cain. That's the company they keep. They promote a religion that's not based on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they teach a false piety. Secondly, they teach and they share the company of Balaam or Balaam. Remember Balaam? Sad, sad story in the Old Testament in Numbers 22 to 25. Balaam, after trying on a number of occasions to not promote a curse on the people of Israel, eventually he gave in. And for money, he did it. He was deceived by a love of money. He was governed by money. And Balaam turned his back on the truth for money. Now, it mustn't surprise you when you read of these multi-million Christian organizations sometimes, and the people go off the road because of money. You remember that one organization, Praise the Lord Ministries? They had such a lot of money, they bought their dog an air-conditioned kennel. That's where they put their money. It's scary and it's horrible that so often false teachers are governed by money. And thirdly, they follow the rebellion of Korah in Numbers chapter 16. You remember Korah? Korah rebelled against authority. He rebelled against Moses and he rebelled against Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. So the company of these apostates is very clear. They go the way of Cain and reject the right way. They rush into the error of Balaam and gain money. They perish with Korah because they refuse to submit to the authority of God. That's the company that they keep. So what can we say together for you and me tonight? If I may try and wrap this whole thing up. It can be a bit negative, but I can't think of anything more relevant for today. I was having lunch on Saturday with one of my closest friends, a man by the name of Kennedy Owino from Kenya. We were sitting down having lunch together, and we trying to help him through his degree before he goes back to Kenya. But it's some of the things that he's been forced to study just to get a certificate is frightening. God is Mother God. John the Baptist is Sister John the Baptist. And the Word of God is seen by some of these people to be, well, if you want to believe that, you can be silly enough to do it. I said to him, listen, Kennedy, I think you're going to have to maybe come to the point where I had to come to. And so I'd rather leave. I'd rather leave and go and serve Jesus with a confidence in Jesus and a confidence in the Bible. Please, brothers and sisters in Christ, be on your guard. There are apostates all around us in lectureship positions, in leadership positions, and we're not being arrogant. We say it lovingly and graciously, and yet from Jude is saying to us, be careful. So that's number one. What's the second thing? Pray that God will help you and I to know our Bibles. The faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. There's nothing more, there's nothing new, there's nothing extra. It's all here. God's got nothing else He wants to say to us. It's all here. There's a front and there's a back. Oh, love your Bible. Read your Bible. Memorize it. Soak it in your mind and heart. By the grace of God, will help you to be strong. So be careful. Be in the Word of God. And may God help us never to wander away. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for these books in the Bible that are seldom read. And Jude is one of them, and yet it's so incredibly relevant for today. We hear men and women on our TV so often claiming to be Christians, but rejecting everything that we believe is true. Oh Lord, help us to stay true to Jesus. Help us to stay humble and godly in all our thinking. And I pray for us here at Christ Church, as we reach out to the children, as we reach out to the areas of people never hearing about Christ, we pray that in whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we sing, we may do it out of a love for Christ and a real love for the Word. Bless my dear brothers and sisters. Protect them, Lord, from ever being deceived. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.